Right, I think we're ready. Man, so welcome everybody. This is one of the longest running fully independent podcasts about movies, culture, cinema, television, what have you. His name is Clarkson.
Hi.
My name is Jim. Together we are The Film Thugs.
Barbaric.
And we welcome you to it. That was a weird missing of the post for some reason. It worked, but it... What did I just do? Oh. Duh, sometimes I hit the main volume with my pinky when I'm not supposed to.
We did mention independent.
Yeah, fully independent. One guy working a board. But yeah, like both of us with our own soundboards. It's grand. Yeah. But so we are looking at, what was the name of this one?
This is called Hitman Heart Wrestling with Shadows.
Wrestling with Shadows, which that makes no fucking sense because at no point... Any stage in this movie was any level of darkness addressed.
I think Paul Jay, the director of this documentary,
yeah,
at one point mentioned Barth's commentary in 1930s, 50s pro wrestling in Paris. And it was something along the lines of dealing with shadows or some shit. And somehow... I think Paul Jay decided to incorporate that. Now, like much like the Iron Claw and wrestling in general, this is not going to be an in-depth breakdown of the Montreal Screwjob itself. That is sort of happened.
Yeah.
While this documentary is being shot, anything that goes into it, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not just happening in a bubble. Right, so there's a lot more. If you want all that kind of detail, and if you're a wrestling fan, you do.
Yeah.
Lapsed fan, just like the Iron Claw. They did a 6-hour show on this documentary alone.
Oh boy.
They then went and did another three or four parts that were, I guess, 5 hours apiece about the fallout, how this thing happened, all of it. If you want all that sort of granular detail,
yeah,
please.
They do.
They did it.
Yeah.
They did it first. They did it the best. Of all the wrestling podcasts that do not feature a carny in it, they are the best.
Yes.
Now, as a prelude...
What do you mean about a carny? What do you mean talking about carny?
You got to have a carny if you want to be the absolute best. Because you can go to the carnival. Yeah. You can enjoy the carnival. You can go to the carnival 1,000 times.
Yeah.
You can read about the carnival. Watch all you want about the carnival.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to really know unless you have a carny.
Yeah, and here's the thing that I will notice about their father is, despite all of the happenings in Two Back Basement, he was not a carny the way Fritz was a carny.
He was a carny, make no mistake.
Yeah,
but there was a time back in the evolution of professional wrestling where if the matches were indeed staged, of course, I mean, they weren't trying to kill each other, but it was preferred that the workers could also hook or shoot and be able to legit work holds.
Well, most of the time they had to be hookers because we just didn't pay them anything at all. Yeah, so they were hooking.
Fritz told me about the hookers.
Yeah, they had to.
Yeah.
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 Fritz had the softest mouth in the early days.
So, and the idea was, particularly for NWA champions, was you wanted to prevent double crosses.
Mm-hmm.
They happened anyway.
Yeah.
Gotch Hackenschmidt, for example.
What the fuck? Gotch Hackenschmidt? Yo, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Gotch Hackenschmidt.
Gotch versus Hackenschmidt. It was a whole thing.
Wow.
There have been a lot. I have to stress this. There have been a lot of double crosses. This is not the first screw job
in the history
of the fucking sport.
May I direct you to my knowledge, a Mr. Anderson? Arn Anderson did not double cross everyone?
No.
Oh.
No.
Sorry.
Not really.
No, no. Yeah. The entire background of wrestling as a carny science.
Yes, yes.
We'll go and put that, the carny science of
the carny
fake fighting.
Sciences, yes.
Yeah. It is as rife with corruption and screwing people over, as Hope pointed out. This is just the porn industry for men.
Yeah. Yes.
That's really all it is. This is
what makes this business so fascinating is because it's fake.
Yeah.
Because it's fake, you then have to, if you want to survive for any length of time, from my observations,
yes,
you have to be able to negotiate the politics that surround it.
Yes.
And back in the day when you walk into a locker room and everyone there was in on the program and agreed to work with each other, but could also go for real. Mm-hmm. If it came to that, that took out a lot of bullshit that happened later on.
Yeah.
Much like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, people still went off script. Yes, people would still go rogue, but you probably didn't know because it happened in a very short window in the middle of the match where someone's like, you need to calm down.
Yeah.
Or they went to the back and they finished it. Mm-hmm. A lot of promoters would notice something like that going down, heat in the locker room, and say, y'all either get it out of your systems or get out of the building.
Yeah.
And they fight. And like a lot of guys, once they get it out of their system, they can move on because the idea is, I don't have to be your best friend. We're going to make money together.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? So you take that element out, mm-hmm, that Stu was a part of, right, which was being able to shoot legit holds, the whole nine.
Yeah.
The whole catch as catch can. God help me, don't get me on that. I'm a catch nerd. I want to try to find a catch wrestling academy in Austin. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Legit, actual grappling.
Yes.
Above and beyond, yeah, what I do in jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu.
It's a whole thing.
El arte suave.
Yes, yes. So the non-gentle art,
yes,
of catch wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is fucking... Oh, it's just fascinating.
I just love it. Disciplined murder.
We're going to love it so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, because Stu came from that world, it was a very strange situation we have ourselves because he trained some of his boys in that. Most of his boys, I think, to one degree or another, had some knowledge of this.
I guess that's what we're going to call that.
Yeah. So if, a point of bringing that up, the screw job were two shooters,
mm-hmm,
you most likely wouldn't have had a Montreal screw job.
Right.
But because there was only one that could really go,
uh-huh,
sorry, Sean, you have all this,
yeah,
bullshit, well, and subterfuge and double dealing and lie, mm-hmm, upon lie upon lie,
yeah,
because this fucking fight is fake.
Yeah. We have to figure out how to do that. Because what I've, here is, when I was a kid, here's what I noticed about wrestling early on that made it difficult, mm-hmm, for me just with the way my mind worked. Because I'm like, okay, well, I can. So you're stomping the mat and throwing your hand near his face, okay? Sure. Like I was spotting the fake choreography.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, yeah, this is what the fuck's going on there.
Was
this
pantomime?
Yeah, what is this nonsense? And there was something else that hit that I don't remember. I had it and it just sort of lost me for a second. But there is just something about the subjectivity of what counting to three was.
Sure, absolutely.
Because I remember watching somebody getting this like, one, two.
Yeah.
Oh, he's kicked out of it. Like, well, yeah, you gave him a half an hour.
That's what happens when you have a ref that's Bronco Lubitsch. Nerds love that joke.
But then, when you're doing the Montreal screw job, one, two, three, it's over.
Not even.
Yeah, I know. Not even that. But the number of times that you've seen that where like somebody unconscious pins the other guy.
Sure.
Like, what the fuck?
I can give you a fucking history of what should have been quick counts to turn into regular counts. And
yep.
WCW, a Terry Bollea. It's a whole lot of shit.
Right. But that was something that I noticed that early on, I was like,
yeah, what's the protocol on your count cadence?
Yeah, because I'm like, boxing is pretty consistent. This is like when I'm seeing it for the first time as a kid, I'm like,
sure.
Why is he counting like that?
And why is the other guy not doing it like that?
Yeah. And why is this guy just laying there completely still until suddenly he goes, ugh.
Yeah, of course.
And now it doesn't count?
Yeah, I got to cut a shoulder up, brother.
Yeah, brother. That's right, brother. But that shit just kind of threw a lot of it for me. And yeah, how all of a sudden, wait, the match is fucking over. Like when Brock Lesnar went into the UFC and was trying to grab his hand for something, the ref thought he was tapping.
Oh, my God.
The fucking match.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that guy looks like he's about to fucking murder
someone. Yeah, to fucking like realign his way of going about things for a while.
Yeah.
He figured it out.
He did. Oh, yeah. But what I love is how the ref on the Montreal Screwjob just bounces. Oh.
Takes flight.
But
Earl Hebner takes flight.
So, but here's, let's talk about now the heart of all this, the Montreal Screwjob. For those who are unaware, I will just give this,
sure,
whatever. Brent the Hitman Hart, who, according to this movie, at least for a moment, was the most famous Canadian.
Yes, yes, the most. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because much like your text about Iron Claw,
yeah,
we have a very strange dance with a super nerd,
yeah,
for wrestling legit and particularly fake.
Yeah.
And one who is just sort of tiptoeing, yeah, in this world like, what?
Yes.
What am I seeing here? Uh-huh. So you watched this for the first time.
Yeah.
Without me interjecting every 30 seconds.
Right.
You are taking away that Brett.
Yes.
Is a huge hero that got screwed over.
Oh, no. Hero is an understatement, because you see, when he met some kids, they looked at him, Clarkson, like he was a god. Yeah, he was a god, Clarkson.
Called him a god?
He did.
Oh!
He did. Here's the thing that I walked away with this from Brett about Brett. That bitch a diva.
Motherfucker, it's not all about you.
He's a bit of a diva. So he's in the WWE. He's having back and forth. He's holding the belt at this moment.
Yeah.
And he's leaving the WWE. Now, it is, to my knowledge, fairly commonplace at that time. If you're leaving, your last match, you're dropping the strap.
Typically, yeah.
Yes. So, hey, your last... And he's like, well, now, wait a minute. My last match is scheduled to be in Canada, eh?
Which, by the way... My hometown of Canada.
My hometown of Canada in Montreal. You know how much people from Calgary love Montreal.
And vice versa.
And vice versa. Yeah, I love getting all Quebecois in Montreal. So those are my people, eh?
Yeah.
So I don't want to lose my championship. So first off, has this ever been a thing in sport ever, that I don't want to lose this in front of a home crowd?
Well, not in sports, but it sure is the thing in fake fighting.
Has it been a thing before in fake fighting?
I don't know.
Probably
Vince
not.
Vince famously has a penchant for beating your ass in front of your hometown.
Yeah.
Just because he wants you to know he can.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's...
But it's less about hometown and more about him leaving, right?
Yeah, yeah. But so...
Because here's the tricky thing about this way of thinking with Bret Hart. Because it's certainly not going to be me shitting on Bret the entire time.
No.
It won't be. No. Bret, like anyone who ever was anything...
Stop doing the jerk-off motion.
In his business.
Right.
They have to believe their own hype to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be. They have to defend their character to a degree. Otherwise, they will get completely run over.
Yes, they
will.
Look
who you're dealing with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're dealing with Vince McMahon, and you particularly, Brett, have been dealing with him for 14 years at this point.
At this point, if you do
not... And you come from a wrestling family.
Yeah. If you do not realize you are dealing with God Emperor Carney scum...
Right.
There is... Question while you're in this, is there ever been a bigger carny than Vince?
Oh god, yeah,
there has. Okay.
Oh yeah, hey, this, okay, not as successful,
okay,
as
Vince. But they're bigger. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, right, the original wrestling world, the wrestling world period, but particularly the older days, NWA was the fucking mob.
Okay
Remember the original Sportatorium was set on fire because somebody deigned to go against NWA's will. It was set on fire because, fuck you, Ed McLemore.
Yeah.
You're not going to do that. So, yeah. I mean, people, the Fullers have invaded territory with gun in hand.
Fucking hell.
I mean, okay, yeah.
So there's Carney's skill.
Yeah, 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 buddy. Right. And in my opinion,
yeah,
the wrestling's never been the same. Post Carney scum, like legit Carney scum. For me, right, it should be Carney-er.
Carney, yeah.
I never wanted kayfabe to fall. Yeah. I want now, to this day, I want someone looking you in the eye and saying, this is real.
Oh, man.
And it being fake as fuck.
Yeah.
I
want it even faker.
I want it faker. I want more Carney. I want less glitz. I want, God damn it, Vince, with the LEDs. Someone tell him I don't need all the LEDs. Anyway. That's why the business of wrestling is so much more entertaining and fascinating than the wrestling itself.
Yeah.
Particularly now.
So from what I even gathered in this movie, Vince was like, all right, dude, what do you want? And fucking instead of Brett saying, I want this, let me do this and this, and having a conversation, he just fucking hemmed and hawed until he's about to goddamn walk out on stage. Here's the thing that Brett didn't realize is that the fact that he left it up to the night, Vince was not going to enter that building without a full here's how it ends in his mind.
Absolutely.
Anything outside of that is, so the fact that you let it get to the day, had he done that 2 weeks, had the movie begun 2 weeks before the event,
right,
with him sitting down with Vince saying, this is what I want for the last thing because of how this lines up.
Right.
Let's make this work. Then, and Vince was like, oh, you're right. I'm sorry, that's my new Vince McMahon. I just tried that without doing it ever.
Perfect. It's like he's in the room.
Yeah. So they did the Vince McMahon. They didn't do that, though.
No, no.
And I think had he done that, Vince might have been more likely to go along with it.
Maybe so. Yes. Because I'm of two minds with this whole situation.
Yeah.
Because I understand the guys have to protect their character and all that.
Right.
But I also think they got themselves worked into a shoot. And by that, I mean the stuff with Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart goes back a while.
Right.
Where at one point they were very close enough, right? Traveled together a little bit. Obviously worked up and down the roads and that nightmare of a fucking schedule that Vince had. And at some point when they started working against each other, all the stuff that got a little stiffer on their promos, and somehow it turned into this thing that before this screw job, they had an altercation in the back. So I can't remember where. So there was already heat between these two, with Vince in the middle trying to make this all work.
Right.
Sean, in Brett's opinion, was a bit of a prima donna. He had quit at one point with a career-ending injury, inverted commas, because he gave up his belt on TV because he had lost his smile, his words. So you can see how Brett could look at Sean like, really?
Yeah.
Fuck this kid. And Sean can look at Brett not wanting to do business and say, well, fuck you. Yeah. This is fake.
Yeah.
So you have these two things, and then Vince in the middle.
Yeah.
It's right.
Like Brett forgot that it's a game. And
yes,
he didn't want to do what would normally happen. And let's be honest, for the company that you work for, the right thing.
Yes.
Yes. Because he didn't like Shawn Michaels. It was it seems like a real, I'm going to take my ball and go home bitch move.
It feels a lot like that. And I have heard different positions on it. There's a reason why, well, Vince is this and Vince is that. Okay, if it's all bad, he's so bad, and Brett's so smart to everything, then why'd he stay?
Yeah.
All that time.
Yeah.
Why'd he come back?
Yeah.
2010. 26 and 06 and 10.
Yeah.
It's just not that simple.
Yeah.
It's complicated, but it also not.
Yeah. Well, because here's the way I feel when you're on something like this, because think of WWE more like Friends than the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh yeah.
That's a better way to look at it. And we need for the show, for your character on this show to do this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't really believe Chandler would do that.
Right.
So
yeah, there's a lot to that.
No,
yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, cool, dude. Well, here's the thing. The show needs this to happen.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You can do it with some, you know, how about we do it with a shitty cheap shot that, oh, whatever. Anything, so yeah. You get to leave as all Captain Canada, whatever. Right. But this is a performer forgetting that they are part of a performance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just,
yeah. Remember from our discussion in Iron Claw, when it comes to wrestling and wrestlers talking about wrestling, you kind of have to decide who you want to believe.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And in this case, Jim Cornette, the current reigning and defending heavyweight champion of wrestling podcasts,
mm-hmm.
40 years in the business.
Yeah.
He was on the creative team during this situation.
Okay.
So
is this Laps fan guy?
No. Okay, Jim Cornette, he's got the tennis racket. That guy from Loudmouth. You'd know if you saw him and heard him. It would, he was everywhere in the 80s.
Okay.
Anyway, he's for the business.
He's
sort
the man.
Of, he's sort of the man, right?
Okay.
Anyway, it has been for a long time. Anyway, he came out around Dark Side of the Ring when they did their expose on the Montreal Screwjob.
Okay.
Or show expose. Their telling of the tale.
Yeah.
And he came out with, he was in creative at the time, and this back and forth between Vince and Brett, and Brett and Sean and Vince had been going on forever.
Yeah.
He and Vince Russo, who's pictured in this documentary, were riding together. Jim Cornette fucking hates Vince Russo.
Okay.
He has in his will that he will be, if he dies before Jim does, that he gets wheeled out to piss on his grave. He fucking hates Russo.
Wow.
Russo doesn't know dick about the business. He was just happened to be there at the time. This is Jim Cornette's stance. I'm not a fan of Russo, but that ain't about this show.
Right.
That's
another.
No, that's a whole other thing.
That is a whole other Oprah.
Long story short. Vince comes in to creative to write whatever, and we're getting closer and closer to Survivor Series, and says, "Oh, I don't know what we're gonna do. I don't know what we're gonna do." And Jim Cornette, being a staunch defender of kayfabe and defending the business and keeping it straight, like gets frustrated. And he's like, "Well, let's take the fucking belt off of him."
Yeah,
it's your belt, Vince. Do whatever you know. Screw him.
Yeah.
He, at the time, had been reading a book by Scott Teal about double crosses, like The Fall Guys, I believe is the name of the book. Anyway, so Vince turns to Jim Cornette and is like, oh, how would you do that? Well, now you've challenged Jim.
Yeah.
And this is Jim's words.
Yep.
He's like, okay, well, you, at some point they get in the sharpshooter and just call the match. Because you can't have a shoot, it's not going to be a shooter situation, because if that happened, Brett would tear Shawn Michaels' fucking head off.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah.
Not saying Shawn can't defend himself.
Right.
I'm just saying in that particular situation,
he would witness firsthand the excellence of execution.
He'd fuck him up. He'd just turn into a fist fight and knock him the fuck out on live TV. Can't have that.
Cannot have that. Yeah.
So, according to Jim, he was like, this is how I do it. He never had dreamed that he would actually do it. In fact, he was there on the night, and sees Sean putting the sharpshooter on Brett and was like, holy shit, they're doing it. And he got the fuck out of there because he didn't know who knew. He didn't know who didn't know.
Yeah.
He didn't know shit.
I can't be here. What that reminds me of is my dad talked about being in staff meetings with a general or the funniest thing ever because they'll be like, nobody do anything. I'm asking a question. Because he was like, there was one time where a general in this meeting was like, hey, maybe we could look into whether it would be a good idea to put a stop sign on this corner. My dad was like, on my way home, there was a stop sign installed on that corner already. Like, fucking holy crap. And he was like, you did that?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. And has to...
Vince, like, I need that power.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
It's an ease. And it was... How the fuck... Okay. The one thing that I know about WWE is don't trust Vince. That's the only thing I know about it.
You've
don't trust Vince.
You've really gotta look out for yourself, man.
Yeah. like this is the stabbing cave.
Yeah,
like, yeah. The man is known for, well, a deal means what I say it does.
Yeah, yes.
Like, that's his vibe.
That's what comes back to my position on this is, okay, I get it. You're defending your character. You're protecting your character. Steve Austin did the same thing. Steve took his ball and left at one point.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to job to Brock Lesnar on free TV. Yeah. Well, I'll do it, but let's make some fucking money at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, fuck it, I'm gone.
Yeah.
And that was massive at the time.
Yeah.
He was on top of the fucking world.
He really was.
He had made Vince a billionaire and was like, nah, I'm gone.
Yeah.
Because he protected his character.
Yep.
He admits later on, probably not the smartest thing I could have done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
But that's the mentality you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
All the top guys had that mentality.
Yeah.
Fucking Hulk Hogan, same thing. Ric Flair, same. Mm-hmm. All of them across the years have to have that mentality. But if you know you're negotiating with a shark, don't be surprised when the shark bites you in the ass.
Yeah.
Clean off.
Yes.
And that's what happened, because the best part of this documentary, and again, Paul Jay only wanted to make this documentary to get the inside of wrestling and to follow Bret Hart. He's Canadian, a huge fan of Bret.
Uh-huh.
Got it. They happened into the screw job. And to stay on topic with the movie itself, the documentary itself, without that, there is no documentary.
They were gifted the single greatest narrative gift that they could have possibly been handed.
Absolutely.
And went, nah.
Pretty much.
We don't really need that, do we?
Yeah, it's like,
if the entire thing had been the road to the screw job.
Right.
Fuck yeah, that would have been amazing.
Oh my God, that would have been amazing if we could have all of the other stuff, not just what's the orbit around Bret.
Yeah, if the whole movie wasn't just one of the most, I would call it masturbatory, but Bret didn't make it.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I haven't masturbated in 2 years.
I haven't masturbated since Johnson was president.
Yeah, I just use other men then.
God.
The male penis has 1,000 nerves. I know everyone in alphabetical order.
I love the male penis.
Yeah.
Not a lady penis.
No.
Well, what I do is I like to have the guys over in the basement.
Yeah, you can stimulate the perineum.
He sounds like a fucking dark Ben Stern.
He does.
What's wrong? Hearing, seriously, and speaking of Howard Stern, hearing the audio tapes of his dad, I bring the boys down to the basement, and then play this audio of what sounds like a violent sexual assault.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only way to describe it. Then Indeed. We see what he's doing, and it's like, it's a different type of violent sexual assault going on here, but this is a sexual assault. Yeah.
He does give him the pretty mouth finger there.
He does. He really.
Oh. Oh, my God.
You need to moisturize. Be soft like Fritz.
Yeah.
Have some discipline.
Like,
I
love the chest beating of some guy who grew up in that fucking dump.
Dump house.
Dump house. The fucking heart dump shack.
The dump shack baby.
Yeah.
The way it's revered and talked about and all that. It was, you know, he had 8 boys, 4 girls, all in the wrestling business, and the girls all married wrestlers.
Yeah.
Cats everywhere, apparently. Oh. I just...
Now the best room we can shoot in is the one where the ceiling's falling out.
Yeah.
That's the room we're going
to
shoot in.
It looks like Stu Hart talking to Bret and on its abandoned Instagram page. The famous dungeon is just a dump basement
really
in a dump
so
house.
Fucking awful.
I mean,
the outside, I love how there is one angle that house looks good from, and then they slip and don't only show it.
Yeah, the rest of it looks like fucking burnt offerings before the house ate everyone.
Like the front of the house, that doesn't look bad. You see one of the sides, like, what?
Yeah,
What is this abandoned murder shack?
Dutch angle left. It's okay. That's it. It's like the one angle you look good on Instagram.
Oh,
I know that well.
Oh, yeah.
That's what that is.
It really is. heart dump with its
just old ask fucking... just ask his mom about that. She's from New York and she's stuck in Canada in this dump house.
I have never seen like a picture's worth a thousand words, and all of them are regret in this woman's face.
Helen. JP on the Lapsed Fan does a whole thing about Helen. It is.
I love the early bit on the Lapsed Fan. He's like, I don't think Doris is real. I don't think Doris exists. I think that it's in my mind would have been she's Vera from Cheers.
Yes,
she's not real.
Yeah,
doesn't exist.
I like JP's question about what do we know about this woman?
What do we know about this
genuine
woman?
Curiosity? Yeah. What do we really know about her? Anyway, Helen. Has a whole thing. There's nothing but regret in her eyes.
I thought it would be wonderful to have children, and then I met this monster. Well, have you seen him? Who could resist?
And, you know,
I like to have a hot dog while we have sex.
I give this 7 hot dogs in my mouth.
She eats the French. She eats the French fries.
The French fries.
Yeah. Ooh. It's terrifying, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it really, really
is. The whole
is.
Situation is of Hart House. It's just,
I want a
I mean, it produced Bruce.
Yeah.
So.
See, here's what I'm going to say.
Fucking Bruce.
I want, like, you know how on YouTube you'll find those things where it's like a supercut of everything? You know, every instance of, you know, Jesse Pinkman saying bitch.
Right.
I want every bit of footage where the old man has that fucking barrel ass waddling around the ring, just all put together to the Teddy Bears Picnic.
And I want somehow Terry Funk to come back from the dead. I'm like, you're such a ass, Stu. Look at you.
Actually, the whole thing's going in. It's just ass.
Yeah,
ass,
he was.
Ass. Oh, he was a fucking schmoo looking asshole.
Yeah, quite the satchel ass.
He really,
boy.
Really did.
Boy,
it
oh
was
boy.
Weird. I thought I was at the grocery store, man.
Yeah, it is.
He's wearing his Parisian night's day suit.
It's not good.
It really isn't. But here's what pisses me off is this movie is handed. For a documentary that's like, oh, I'm going to do a portrait of somebody, to then hand you arguably the biggest story from that sport of the year.
Oh, absolutely.
And to be like, no, this thing should have been entirely structured around it, dealt with the fallout, dealt with that, like, what does this mean? Not some,
yeah.
But I'm better than Celine Dion. You won't even know right. me.
So you're dealing with a shark in a shark business, and you know that in 1985, Vince did it to someone else.
Who did he do it to?
Wendy Richter was the ladies' champion at the time, and I guess was feeling a little too big for her britches, or at least that was his estimation.
Yeah.
And... because she had the belt for a very short period of time. That was mainly controlled by the great Moolah. That's a whole other thing about Moolah, boy. Anyway, Wendy goes to the match to wrestle the widow of some lady under a hood.
Okay.
Long story short, it turns out to be Moolah. Fucks her in the match, holds her down, pins her, 1, 2, 3, we're done. Right there, in 1985... And this is taking place in 1997.
Yeah.
So in recent history, you've seen this man.
During your career
during
with
your
this
career,
man.
You have witnessed this man double cross a independent contractor in the ring.
Yeah.
I know you think they're going to screw you. Just believe they're going to screw you.
Yeah.
And try your best to negotiate yourself out of that situation.
Yes.
Because by the time we get to the night of the show, and Vince walks up to Brett and everybody, he already has made a decision.
Yeah.
That decision was made the night before. I mean, of course, it was made well before that.
Yeah.
But as far as the details went down the night before.
Yeah.
In the production meeting, and then the other production media.
Yep.
And there's a very small circle of people, depending on who you want to believe, that actually knew this was going to take place.
Well, because you have the one production meeting that ends with, we don't know how fucking diva asshole over here wants it to end. Okay, cool. Grown-ups, we're going to go in the other room and figure out how to, we're going to write a fucking ending to our multi-million dollar show tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you also have Sean saying, I'm not going to lose to him either.
Yeah.
So you've just got this fucking thing.
Yeah.
Going on.
Because Sean, I think rightly, is like, no, that's not how this is done. That was like, you give you a weird one, like when Conan took over the Tonight Show, and then like, well, what we're going to do is we're going to bring Jay Leno back and then put Conan on like just a half hour later. No, that's not what I fucking signed up for. And so, yeah, Sean, like, oh, so I'm going to be the one guy who just gets handed the belt on Raw?
Yeah.
Kiss my ass.
Exactly.
So oh, so I'm going to get the belt in a free show? Kiss me. Hey, I'll tell you what. Go talk to your dad and say, he told me to kiss him directly on Anderson Cooper.
Right. Exactly.
He'll know exactly which one I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm glad I pulled that one. I'm glad I made that one up.
It's such a fucking...
Mm-hmm.
It's just a mess.
It is.
Because you've got, depending on who you believe, you've got Vince... with Sean and Hunter pissing in his ear about what should be done.
Yeah.
Maybe he listened to him too much. Maybe he gave him too much stroke.
Yeah.
They're both kind of running the company right now in different angles. So yeah. Who's the real smart one here? But Vince made a decision, but he made it too late.
Yeah.
It's almost like you could look at it like, I think he wanted to do this.
Yeah.
At a certain point... once Jim Cornette out of frustration, and Jim Cornette does not take any pride in it.
Yeah.
He's like, I was just fed up at the time, and a guy challenged me to come up with a finish.
Yeah.
A fucking savant.
Yeah.
You asked him, he gave you it.
Yeah.
He didn't dream you were going to do it.
Right.
But then you did.
Well, and here's the thing. Had Owen, there's two things that could have happened, and I'll tell you which one my opinion is. Owen could have manned up, come in and said, on the night, you know what, Vince?
Oh, Brett.
Yeah. Brett, I meant.
Yeah.
Before. Vince murdered him.
God.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
You just got a note handed to you by Martha Hart.
Yeah, yeah. I'm running this. That's what I've decided. But he could have come in and been like, dude, let him beat me. Let him have it win clean. If Brett had done that, cool. Or if Vince had said, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen either.
Here's what's going to happen, period.
Exactly.
What choice does he have?
Yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
that point, well, you are doing it. Yeah, are you going to decide to turn it into a shoot and win? At which point, now I have to deal with...
Yeah.
And you're not coming back in 06 if you pull that.
I mean, it was a whole thing with the contract.
Yeah.
He had it, Brett he, being he, pronouns pal.
Yeah.
Wanted to have a clause where he had reasonable creative control in his last 30 days, right?
Reasonable. Reasonable creative control is not the same as
complete.
I decide how it ends.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Lawyers love that word.
Yeah. Reasonable creative control means you have a decent amount of input.
Yeah, so you've got reasonable control.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when the fucking owner... operator of this empire says you're not being reasonable.
Yeah.
And I would argue
you're not.
Neither one of them were being reasonable.
Yes.
And he made that decision.
But here's the point that I think on this one, Vince actually has. I mean, at no point did Vince agree to be reasonable. You agreed to a reasonable amount of control. I did not agree to only have a reasonable amount of control.
It was certainly. Vince McMahon is short on reasonable control.
But and I will say, in the world of show business...
Yes, let's not forget that.
Dictating the ending is not reasonable control for any performer.
I agree.
I literally would love to be an actor, but I still agree with what Hitchcock said. They're fucking cattle.
Yeah, yeah. Because the only person that got that... anything... even approaching that sort of ironclad creative control was Hulk Hogan in WCW.
Yeah.
And that is why Eric Bischoff was in charge of WCW.
Uh-huh.
Hulk Hogan was in charge of WCW.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And even if he had done everything the right way by, in his estimation, he being Brett.
Right.
He would have gone to WCW and gotten fucking sat on a shelf and not used the right way, just like what happened to him.
Yeah.
If he had realized beforehand, this isn't fucking... I may be getting paid,
yeah,
but as far as my character and my hero role and all this shit, mm-hmm. prepare for that to be utterly, if not destroyed, ignored.
Yeah,
in the shadow of Hulk Hogan and WCW. So,
yeah, well, what do you?
And you worked with him.
Yeah,
you believed him to fuck you out of a SummerSlam match or whatever.
Yeah,
because you didn't think he would put you over. You have all this knowledge.
Yeah,
it's hard for me, Brett.
Yeah,
to buy it, and I was a fucking fan of Bret Hart. Mm-hmm. I saw him live. I got the fucking embarrassed high five on my 13-year-old hand.
Oh, hell yeah.
I was a mark for him, man.
Yes.
So I'm not saying this like I'm some sort of Shawn Michaels. I like Shawn, I guess, but Bret's my guy. Yeah. I was at the time.
Yeah.
And I can't look at this
knowing
as a performer myself, this is the director is asking me to.
Yeah.
Do this scene this way.
Yeah.
And yeah, there have been times where people say my character wouldn't do that. And we'll have that discussion.
Yeah.
But at the end of everyone's dying in Hamlet.
At the end of the day, you are beholden to whatever the script is.
Right.
Whatever medium you are in, whatever anything you are in, you are beholden to the fucking script. Which is, I love when they realize, no, we're gonna fuck with people on this. Do you remember how they wrote Jay Thomas out of Cheers? Killed by a Zamboni. Then, we know he said his name was Eddie, but his real name is Guy Edward Lebeck. Yes. He decided to go by Eddie and said, so yeah, fuck you. And that guy's a dick. I listened to his radio show for just a little while and was like, fuck this guy.
Yes.
Learn and hearing him on the air, it's like, oh, that's who this guy is. Yes. He's the guy who, oh, we're gonna do all this. Oh, you're not really professional.
No.
Okay, cool. No. Good to fucking know.
Yeah. There's a sort of setup in this documentary where Brett front loads all his decisions because of the service he's provided. Even a fan says that at one point. The fan interviews in this thing are fucking gold.
This, oh my God.
But, and we'll get that in a minute. This years of service.
Yeah, years of service. Yeah.
He's being paid to do this job.
Yeah.
On an agreed upon amount.
Uh huh.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nothing's being done selflessly or whatever. Yeah.
You're not
There's talk
a fan.
Of loyalty.
What the fuck?
There's talk of all this. I'm a better wrestler. Let me tell you something, boss, and you know this. You just don't admit it into the camera. The top guys in the business, particularly from 70s on, were almost top guy was almost never the best worker.
So let me just go ahead and
ever.
Ask Owen a question here real quick.
Brett. Yeah.
Sorry.
First of all, I want to thank you. For letting me still be your hero. I got to put my thumbs in my belt loops.
So that strap you're carrying.
Yeah.
Has it ever been held by a man named the Ultimate Warrior?
Or Jim Hillwig, yeah.
And what the fuck does the ability to wrestle have to do with any of this shit?
Exactly.
What the fuck does that do?
Exactly.
Has Hulk Hogan ever held that? Yeah. Then what the fuck does wrestling? Okay, hey, when Andre the Giant was around, did anyone other than him hold it? Yeah. Then what the fuck are we talking about here?
Exactly.
Come on, you
it's
ass.
Never. Ever.
Ever. No.
About who is best in the ring.
No.
Steve Austin.
Yeah.
The best on the microphone. A fucking.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm a mark for him, but I fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? He had his fucking neck broken by Owen. Had to change his entire game. Got over just talking and stunning random people. Making billions of dollars. Right?
Yeah.
He was an amazing wrestler prior to his injury, but he got on just fine.
Yeah.
Dwayne the fucking Rock Johnson.
Yeah.
Shortest stint in the business ever, feels like.
Yeah.
He made that shit work for him.
Yep.
Great on the mic. He wasn't that great in the ring.
No.
Not really.
No, it's the winner of the wet t-shirt contest is not the person with the wettest t-shirt.
Right. Ric Flair's not fucking Frank Gotch.
Yeah.
But he could talk people into the building. That is the name of the game.
Yeah, I remember when Jeter retired and was doing his retirement tour and fucking Oberman was doing some shit like,
fuck me.
I don't understand this. It's like, because Keith, you don't understand what popularity and charisma are. What's happening here is people want to say goodbye to Jeter.
Yeah.
Very few professional athletes reach the end of their career with nobody disliking them.
Yeah, that's something else.
And that alone is like, oh, cool. No, he doesn't have records, any of that. Because, well, like, and there
it's
was,
like David Robinson.
Yeah. There was a dude, I forget who it is, on one of those like in deep inside stat things where it's like, here's this baseball player who has played here. Mm-hmm. He has always been in the majors, never really been that great. And all that we found out is apparently he's just a good dude to have in the locker room. It's like from fucking Magnificent Seven.
Yeah, yeah.
His spirit's like, yeah, he's just, people like having him around. Right. So it's like, yeah, he'll play every once in a while. But dude, we just fucking love having this dude here.
It's the Sam Campbell matrix.
Yeah.
People like Sam.
Yes.
Because you can't not.
Yes. Yes, that's perfect.
That's Sam's superpower.
Yeah, it's like VJ.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Fucking who doesn't love this person?
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there are people who have cheat codes.
How are you his
areas.
Brother? I'm not I that way. I don't know, fucking man. Care.
I don't know.
That's my whole gimmick now.
It's like if twins had a years between them.
A little bit. Like, well, I like you. I think that's great. I don't like you. I think that's great. That's my whole move. But yes, that's true. That's true.
And it's just, when you are someone who can be popular and get people want to go and see and that's literally all there is to it. Yeah. Like, here's the thing. If the NFL was WWE, Travis Kelce would be working his way to the belt tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because you ain't getting an ounce more fucking heat off anybody. Right now, the NFL knows it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And sure. Dude, Stephen A. Smith did a correct call out the other day.
Oh, my God.
He was like, look, Taylor Swift did her job. That tour was off the hook, made billions of dollars. Now she's coming supporting her guy.
Yeah.
They want to put a camera on her. That ain't her fault. Saying she did this after her tour. This isn't going to pump up her sales. Those girls aren't going to go to see Taylor because they saw her in the NFL. No, they're going to see her no matter what.
Yeah.
She's their girl. Yep. Leave her. I think she's going to have a positive effect on him. This is nonsense. Like,
yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Yes, it is. Right now, who is benefiting more, Swift or the NFL?
Oh,
the NFL loves it.
Of course they do.
It's
of course they do.
Yeah.
Wrestling has done it forever. Vince done it fucking ridiculous levels.
The fact that Vince had a storyline that implied he was going to have his daughter married off to be raped by a dead guy.
Yeah.
That he was the dude behind it.
Yeah.
Yes. This is who we're dealing with here, and you think there's something he fucking won't do?
Yeah.
You think there's a line this motherfucker's not gonna cross?
That's my point.
I made fools of you all! Right.
It's, yeah, so, you know, it's Vince McMahon, they take the mask off, and it's just Vince McMahon.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
What?
Yes.
It's not just the tail of the fucking scorpion. He's wearing a scorpion suit.
Yeah. Yes.
His tail is behind him.
Yeah.
You can see it behind your weird sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
I had those when I was a kid. I did. See? And if I had them with me, I could prove it to you all on audio. It's such a head fuck.
It really is.
That he made that decision and now to turn around and go, what a villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that the kayfabiness is still there enough that motherfuckers think he murdered his brother.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there. For those who do not know, Brett's brother Owen was doing a stunt entrance.
Yeah.
It was a drop. It is a safe stunt when done right.
It has been, yeah.
Yes, and they wanted him to be able to quick release. So instead of having the solid carabiner, They used a keychain carabiner.
Basically, yeah.
And from what I understand, I haven't seen it. The piece of equipment, I'm not. It's one of those where it's like, don't put too much weight on this. Weight limit, 50 pounds.
And again, if you want to know in exhausting detail.
Yeah, what happened
with
this?
The Labs fan.
Yeah.
We'll hold your hand through that fucking nightmare. Long story short about that. If I can nutshell that for you. Mm-hmm. Sting in the WCW had that gimmick. He did it all the time. He would drop in, right? And scare off 30 men because he had a bat.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's fake.
Yeah.
the guy that did that rig for him did it well, obviously, because Sting is still with us somehow.
Yeah.
Sure. And the guy that got the job to do it with Owen, who was the Blue Blazer, in the Blue Blazer gimmick at the time.
Yeah.
Said he worked for that guy and did it all the time with that guy. He was just his assistant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no.
It's
no.
a whole thing.
Yeah.
And it is dark as dark gets in this professional wrestling, the fucking heart of darkness.
Yes.
The heart of darkness.
And so, to my understanding, was this, did this occur at a pay-per-view?
Yes,
or,
it did.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
it did.
Live on a pay-per-view, Owen drops to his fucking death. Like,
correct.
Not only is he dead before he leaves the building.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows he is dead.
Everyone knows he, I don't know if he was quite, I don't remember.
Everyone knew that
dead.
It was bad.
It
but
was bad.
When he died, they knew.
Because I believe there's a shot where Jeff Jarrett, who was very close with him, was cutting a promo for a match. And he's obviously broken up, and he's a heel at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he was actually, they had called it.
Right.
Yet, but.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone had to know this ain't going to work out.
And then the show kept going.
That's right.
And these folks were like, cool, so I get to climb over my friend's blood.
That's right.
As we hope he's not dead, but we know what's going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, the show's got to go on now.
Is he okay?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, but
I regret that.
Fuck. Why is he doing that?
No. Get in there, ref, as Jack would say. Yeah, it's just fucking terrible. It really is.
It is. But that's how fucked up Vince is that people think, yeah, he'd do that.
Exactly.
Do that? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the fallout from this, from the screw job to the Hart family is, it's unbelievable.
It's worse than their house.
It's a dump house of consequences. Diana Hart wrote an entire book called Under the Mat about it. Had to be pulled off the shelves because she was getting sued. It was full of bullshit. Claimed that British Bulldog, her husband at the time, was drugging her and in the ass when she was passed out. You see? Do you see, people, why I'm fascinated by this stupid shit?
Of fake, of theatrical tumbling.
Yes. Yes, violent parkour these days.
God. Yeah, I just, this movie more than anything is a, I will call it a glorious exercise in wasted potential.
Not just that, it's the luckiest documentary in the history of documentary films.
Yeah.
Because without the screw job,
there's this nothing.
This would be called Bret the Hitman Hart, Paul J on his nutsack.
Yeah. It's, now here's the thing, the movie as it is barely above nothing. Because they are gifted this thing and it is barely addressed at the end.
Yeah, and they just sort of move on at the end to somehow, you know, like a post-climax, where are they now?
Yeah.
Like, and he went to WCW and got his fucking head kicked off to a fucking stroke by Bill Goldberg.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
It's just, ugh.
It's a lot.
It ends badly. Yeah, it ends... Which makes sense because it's not a good documentary.
It really isn't.
It begins poorly. The subject is a fucking idiot. I mean,
there you go. There, where Jim comes down on it.
Yeah,
Bret the Idiot Hart.
Bret the Idiot Hart
coming to the ring from the hometown of Canada.
Brett the Idiot Hart.
The Idiot
Brett the Hart. Idiot Hart.
The dumbest there was, the dumbest there is, the dumbest there ever will be. Jim Dirks' take.
Yeah, I know. I honestly.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun to be on the other side of it.
Jackie Martling dumb.
We're the beat on the radio.
I'm the beat. It was. It is. It is Jackie Martling. I'm going to punch up scripts.
Brett, the Jackie the Joke Man Martling Hart.
Brett the Martling Hart. Like, how do I fuck myself real hard here?
Thank you for listening.
And we'll see you next time.